Hi, I'm Sean. I'm still recovering ABC. Okay. I talked about traditions 1 through 6. This is kind of, like I said, this is a very quick run through the traditions. It's not a jog. It is a sprint. So, again, for those of you who may not have been here earlier, I use the traditions in my relationships. It's how I practice these principles in all my affairs. That's one of the ways. And so what I'm trying to do is give a flavor of the traditions, give you an idea of one more way you could work your program and how to use the traditions in all of your affairs. Give you ideas where to look within the OA literature to find answers to maybe questions you have. So with that, Tradition 7, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. The principle behind Tradition 7 is responsibility. We're self-supporting to keep our fellowship pristine. Or, as I like to say, can staffle. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Or, as I mentioned before, OA is not a spectator sport. So, as applied to relationships, every person in the relationship, whether it be family, work environment, friendships, ought to be fully self-supporting, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So how well do I live by the seventh tradition? These are 5 questions I have in here that I walk through. And these are from mostly from the back of the 12th tradition questions in the OA 12 and 12. And so, for example, you know, it has been said that being fully self-supporting is contributing our time, our talent, and treasure. How do I do this in all areas of my life? Do I really contribute all I can to the OA program, perhaps spiritual programs, my family, my partner, my work environment, or do I do as little as possible just to get by? And on the flip side of this is, you know, I've always been kind of an overachiever. You know, I overdo. And so, kind of along those lines, I have to look at when I do Tradition 7, am I doing what others could be doing for themselves? So I have to be fully self-supporting in that I need to, you know, I need to, for example, in my family, both my husband and I work. If I didn't work, you know, I would probably be doing more chores. Since both of us work, in fact, I work more hours, he does actually more than half the housework. Bless his heart. I am so lucky. But he gets that. We both contribute financially. We both spend our time helping raise the kids. It, you know, in OA, an example where I use this tradition, you know, I have, a gift of taking a lot of classes and learning how to do stuff. And so I use my talent and I do artwork for OA, and there's some cute little necklaces that have little OA sayings on them out there on the raffle table. Just make it a plug for the Monroe Tiny But Mighty Meeting. Yes. And anyway, so, you know, there's different things that I do, you know, within OA, within my work, within my home. Am I doing my fair share, or am I just trying to skate along? And on that same, by that same token, am I doing more than my fair share and not allowing other people to do their fair share? That's not cool either. It's a balancing act. Am I willing to contribute something to the group or my family, even when I'm afraid of economic insecurity? When in difficult financial times, am I willing to donate my time or talent as a way of being self-supporting? So in my OA meetings, I can't always give service like I would like to, but I can donate my treasure. You know, I can give more to the seventh tradition. You know, when I look at, I kind of had not a tradition, but, you know, it's like every year in program, I give like $10 per year to, like, in a group or World Service or whatever. Like, if I'm in 29 years, then I write a check for $290. You know, that's just what I do. And I do that because, number one, that's cheap compared to the money I would have spent on binging. I would have spent easily several thousand dollars binging per year. So look at all the money OA has saved me. So maybe I can spend a little extra in the basket because I can afford to. I'm fortunate. I work a good job. Not everybody has that. But maybe someone who can't contribute their treasure can do service in another way. Or maybe they can sing at a talent show. There's many ways to give service. And the whole idea is we are fully self-supporting in our families, in our OA meetings, in our work environments. We do our part. So, thoughts on which to meditate. The seventh tradition of saying no to outside donations and yes to our responsibilities as OA groups and individuals in our families and our work lives is a vital principle, keeping us and our fellowship free of the complications that would inevitably rise were we to depend on outside sources. As long as we keep this tradition, paying our own way from our own pockets, we will earn the respect of the general public and self-respect as well. That's out of page 169 out of the OA 12 and 12. And then, you know, then I have some questions in there that you could, you know, be thinking about, you know. How does being self-supporting help set clear boundaries in OA and in our relationships? If I'm self-supporting, it's much easier to set clear boundaries in my marriage. If I'm doing my part, then I don't feel guilty about not setting boundaries when I need to set them. And so but if I'm sliding along and not doing my fair share and coasting and let my husband do all the work, it's harder for me to set boundaries. So why is that a problem with food? Because if I'm not setting boundaries, then I start getting hungry. And if I start getting hungry, then I want to eat my kids' food, and that's not my food. So for me, living these principles in all my affairs helps keep me from getting into the food. So, being self-supporting is impossible if one of the partners becomes the higher power for the other. The same is true when one person in a relationship is overly dependent on the other for their emotional well-being. Our self-worth comes from within and from God, not from having someone in our life in order to feel okay about ourselves. That's something I have to really watch, is not making my husband my higher power. And I did that early in the marriage, and it darn near destroyed the marriage. It was not a healthy situation. And I had to, come back, let's look at the steps and traditions again. What is my part? What do I need to do differently? So that was kind of an eye-opener for me. So when each partner of the relationship understands that they are responsible for their own survival and progress, a greater spiritual strength flows into each, and the relationship is made doubly strong. Each partner is able to do their own part without asking or expecting the other to do it for them. We're each able to be responsible for our own growth. So that's tradition 7, kind of some ideas of how I apply it to my marriage, for example. Tradition 8, OA should remain never forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. The principle behind this is fellowship. We're non-professional. As you know, my favorite saying that I heard in program many years ago, and I've stolen it for myself, because I'm a codependent, I think I can fix anyone. Because I'm an engineer, I know I can. And this has gotten me into more trouble. As applied to relationships, within our relationships, we are not professionals, but we may employ special workers such as medical doctors, spiritual advisors, auto repair shops, electrical contractors, counselors, etc. Our primary purpose is to express the theme of love, loyalty, family, unity, and all that we do, and share this knowledge freely with others. Whoops, I think that was actually Christian 5. Okay. Our relationship should remain forever free. A free giving relationship, each to the other. In a healthy relationship, we do not keep score. And that's a hard one, because my husband loves to keep score. He is the king of tit for tat, and I can get sucked into that so fast because I want to be right. So, how well do I live by the eighth tradition? Do I sometimes try to fix other people by giving them my expert advice? Or am I content to share my experience, strength, and hope? Well, this one is really a tough one for me because, how many times have I tried to be a medical professional to my husband or a nutritionist and enlighten him on how bad his diet is for himself? I mean, this is just a recipe for disaster in a relationship, trying to be the expert and fixing the other person. We have hired, outside help for, marriage counseling. That's an outside issue, but we had to hire outside help. That is fabulous. I go to a doctor when I have a medical problem. I don't go to my husband and expect him to be my heart surgeon or whatever. I go to a heart surgeon. So, if I'm trying to speak in as an expert in my relationship, why do I need to do that? Do I need to stroke my ego? Am I feeling insecure? Do I feel like I need to have people look up to me? So that's something I need to really look at. Or do I believe the other partner should be in charge of certain chores or chores or tasks based on their gender. Well, hey, yeah, I expect my husband to do the car work. I don't want to bust my knuckles anymore. I used to do my own car repair. I don't want to do that anymore. And he's not doing it for me, and it really irritates me. So I have a resentment to work on with that because he has not fixed my Camry in over a year. But you know, that's why I'm still here, because I'm not all there. I need to keep working on this and maybe say the resentment prayer for 2 weeks, praying for his health, happiness, and prosperity, and praying that his cars always get fixed whenever they need to be fixed. And I need to do that every day for 2 weeks. The resentment prayer helps. It works. And after a while, I decided, you know, it's easier to not have resentments than have to pray for somebody, especially if it's my ex-husband. Because there's nothing worse than having to have that man in my head praying for him every day for 2 weeks. And if I'm still resentful, then I've got to start over and I've got to pray again. Or I miss a week. I've got to start from scratch. Pray for him every day. It's health, happiness, and prosperity. That his student aid, you know, forms for his daughter get filled out properly. We won't go into that one here. Anyway, some of you heard me at lunch ranting about this. So, you know, the resentment prayer works. We have to be fully self-supporting, but we don't want to be, don't want to do for others what they could do for themselves. And in the eighth tradition, we need to get outside help rather than be the fix-it-all experts. I don't try to fix my sponsees. I don't try to fix my husband. Well, I try not to try to fix my husband. It's really a hard habit to break. Thoughts of which to meditate. When we keep always eighth tradition, we discover a beautiful spirit of caring service, which becomes a powerful factor in our healing. We are all non-professionals in our support of each other's recovery from compulsive eating, giving and receiving support and fellowship with no expectations of return. Living by the spirit of this tradition, we can each turn to the next one to us and say truthfully from the heart, I put my hand in yours because I care. Pages 175 through 176 of the OA 12 and 12. So some thoughts on which to meditate. I have some areas where you can look in your 12 by 12. You know, steering clear of the profit motive, qualifications to take service positions. There's a paragraph on that in the tradition. OA meetings are not therapy groups. You know, that's really important because as a sponsor, I'm not a therapist. I can't be a therapist, or I can't be a meal planner or a nutritionist for my sponsees. Even if they ask me to, I can't do that. All I can do is I can just share my strength, hope, and experience. That's all I can do. And I can't, you know, there's times when it talks about in the big book where we need to seek outside help, and that is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't try to play physician, nutritionist, spiritual advisor, marriage counselor. That's not our job in OA. Our job is to abstain from compulsive overeating and carry the message of OA to those who still suffer. Tradition 9. So let me check the time. I'm going to do real quickly. I'll do a little bit on Tradition 9. OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. The principle is structure. We are a responsible organization. We are not formally organized. My favorite saying with this tradition is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Or has anyone ever actually accused OA of being organized? Those who've been to any, you know, service meeting, it's like, oh my God, World Service, you know, 300 compulsive overeaters in a room who are stark, raving, abstinent. Well, at least I was when I was there at times. And trying to get things passed, getting, you know, the business of OA done. It's a miracle in process. But we are not necessarily organized. But we have a way of doing it that is very effective. And it is organized in its own way, but not in a hierarchical way. So, as applied to relationships, a family relationship should be pliable in its organization, but our family group conscience may appoint certain persons to serve various functions and to be directly responsible to those they serve. Or another way to put it, our relationship ought never be organized or under the control of only one partner. So how well do I live by the ninth tradition? Do I support my spouses? I only have one husband right now. That's more than plenty. Do I support my spouse, my coworkers, my family members, or am I critical of those who are giving service and suspicious of their motives? That's a tough one. When I'm asking my husband to do the dishes, I need to let him do it. I don't then tell him how to load the dishwasher. That's not a way for marital, you know, serenity or happiness. So, you know, or in my job as a manager, if I ask somebody to do it, this is the job I want to get done. I need to trust them that they'll know how to do it. And if they come and ask me for help, I will help them. But I don't say, now I need you to do this and you need to do it my way. That doesn't work very well in my experience. So what else do I want to say about Tradition 9? You know, in OA, we have experienced how things work out for the best when organization is kept to a minimum. The order which we once sought in rules and power structure, we have found in freedom instead. Trusting our higher power rather than any organizational structure, we can now take responsibility for our shared lives and for the OA fellowship in which we are recovering together. Pages 182 and 183 of the OA 12 and 12. So, you know, and it talks about in the OA 12 and 12, if you're at a meeting and you're feeling uncomfortable, you kind of feel this feeling in your gut, maybe there's a tradition that's not being kept. And it talks about in here, page 179, 181, how to handle when traditions are not being kept. You know, Tradition 9 helps us to ensure that God will always remain our ultimate authority in OA. So with that, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to have you guys write for 15 minutes, and then we'll open up for sharing.